You know, we get so caught up in watching the stock market, and it was spectacular again on Thursday, and trying to find out the latest tweet and what's on with tariffs, that we really hadn't paid much attention to the blockchain coins lately. Bitcoin, for example, you can't not look at it on Thursday. The thing was up 11%, up $7,500, just sort of out of the blue. This is, looks like the volatility is back. Sean Worthington is an author. He's written a book, Beyond Bitcoin, The Future of Digital Technology. He has created what I would call a competitor to Bitcoin called CloudCoin. And he also teaches computer sciences at a community college in Northern California. And he joins us right now from a monetary conference in Toronto. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And thanks for taking the time, because I know you're speaking, I guess, to investors and people who care about these things. You know, some people see the Bitcoin go up 10% in one day or 11% in one day, and they get very excited. For me, it just scares me. I mean, don't you try to look for some sort of stability in these investments?
Absolutely. But, you know, Bitcoin has some problems in that it can only handle a certain amount of transactions. And so you can have a few big buyers that really move the market. And these tariffs give some buyers a reason why they should buy Bitcoin, because with Bitcoin, you can get around all the tariffs. You can get around all the taxes and all the bank fees. And so if you want to buy $1 million worth of Chinese iron, well, this would be a way to do it. Get some Bitcoin.
But can you really, I mean, can you get away with that? I mean, is this something you're getting away with, or is it, is that a legal transaction?
Well, it might not necessarily be the Americans that are doing it. It might be Chinese that are doing it.
Right.
And so absolutely, we can get away with it. And we've seen this happen in the past. We had Venezuela, where they put up big tariffs on the dollar. And if you wanted to buy $1 million worth of Venezuelan oil, then that was the way to do it, was through Bitcoin.
But the problem is, as I see it, let me put it this way. Let's say it goes down 10%. So I buy 8 Bitcoins tonight, and that's enough money to buy a new Tesla. And so tomorrow I'm gonna buy the Tesla, except the darn thing's gone down 10%, and now it's going to cost 9 Bitcoins to buy the Tesla.
That's right. Yeah, so if you're interested in buying it as a investment, you might want to look at buying it in the futures market, because of the futures market, you can try to bet on whether it's going to go up or not, or down, and that's very liquid. You can get out of it quickly. But even if the price fluctuated and you tried to sell really quick, you might not be able to do that because of how few of transactions it can actually handle.
So, I see this volatility, and at one point, Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan said, it's going to go to zero, and it's a flash in the pan, and like it gets 15 minutes of fame. You've gone out and created your own digital currency called CloudCoin. I'm thinking you see a longer future than Jamie Dimon and some others.
Absolutely. I think digital currencies are here to stay. It allows us to buy things all over the world, day or night, without bank fees, tariffs, or taxes. And it gives us some freedom. We can buy with complete privacy, at least with CloudCoin we can. The only thing is, we just haven't really developed the technology yet. And I think with CloudCoin, we're actually approaching what might be perfect money. And I think that we're going to see something like CloudCoin be the future of digital money.
But you point out in your book that the anonymity is not there, and that there are cases where judges have subpoenaed and, I guess, made transactions or shareholders' names public.
Yeah, that's right. With the Bitcoin, you have to have an account on the public ledger, and you have to have a public key and a private key, and so does the person that you're sending money to. And so all that information is written down and recorded in the blockchain, and it's there forever. And so, yes, you can track that. But with something like CloudCoin, the money has the accounts. And so you don't even have to have a login or a password.
No, wait, I'm sorry. Who has the accounts? The what?
So with CloudCoin, the CloudCoins themselves have accounts, basically.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to check to see if the CloudCoins are authentic, not you.
So who's the perfect customer for a Bitcoin or a Cloudcoin or you know, anybody in blockchain. I mean, it's not me trying to buy a new car.
Yeah, you know, it started off with libertarians who were trying to get away from the fiat money, and it's a very good hedge against the loss in value that we're having with the United States dollar. The dollar is actually going down in value, and it goes down in value because they're printing up too much of it, and the banks and the governments are basically gaming the system. And so by having a digital currency in which you have a fixed supply, it's going to really go up in value as technology makes everything more efficient. But lately, we've had people need to buy things overseas, and it works very good for that. We have had a bunch of people that came in trying to use it as an investment, but typically we don't consider money as investments. We don't consider, I mean,
right.
We might invest in the Japanese yen or something, but those are long-term investments. And so we're seeing some really strange behavior on these investments. And a lot of these investors, they really don't know what they're doing.
Mr. Worthy, you know, this strikes me as you're explaining this, and it's beginning to make more sense to me. But it really makes me think back, I want to say 30 years ago, and the what we call the gold bugs or the hard currency, and it was, you know, worrying about the fiat currency and getting away from that and having an international currency, and the currency was gold, and so everybody should hold gold. Are these sort of this generation's gold bugs?
Yes. And so the problem with gold is that you cannot, you know, trade it all over the world in an instant. And it's possible for it to be stolen, very easy for it to be stolen. And you have to worry about the government maybe even breaking down and taking it. And when you try to buy it or sell it, it's not that liquid. You have to go to find somebody that's willing to buy and sell it. And so these digital currencies...
And it's heavy.
Much better.
Yeah. No, looking at it that way, I think I understand it. So tell me about who's buying your book and the kind of people you're speaking to at the conference, for example, that you're at now this week in Toronto. Who are these, you know, what kind of people are interested in this?
Well, this is the Canadian Investors Association. And these people are some, you know, serious investors, and they have noticed, of course, that these cryptocurrencies have had one hell of a year. And if you played your cards right, you might have made a lot of money. And so they want to learn more about that and find out if it is safe enough for them to invest, and just learn more about their options with that.
So this, and last, let me end where we began. This Thursday spike of 11% in Bitcoin, just out of the blue and for no apparent reason, is that significant in the history of blockchain coins?
No, that is very significant, and you know, it's possible that somebody's trying to game the system. You know, it's possible that somebody's trying to make some strategic purchases in order to make it go up. So it's really hard to tell what's going on with that.
Well, I know it's fascinating, yet another thing I don't understand, but I'm a little closer with your commentary today. Sean Worthington is the author of Beyond Bitcoin, The Future of Digital Currency, and creator of Cloudcoin. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.